There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, live local talk over the next couple of hours. Glad you're along, and lots to do on today's show. Also, we'll look to Washington as they've now called the vote in the House for tomorrow on the coronavirus recovery stimulus bill. Get into details on that coming up in just a little bit. Plus, so many questions, of course, on the small business portion of this, plus the check directly to Americans, who gets it, who doesn't. I know there's a bunch of questions out there. We'll run through those in this hour. Plus, we'll be joined by Justine Hurley with the United Way of Southwest Alabama to talk about 211 and resources available for folks to navigate these pretty confusing and tough times as we fight coronavirus here in our neck of the woods. And I want to bring on lead pastor at Three Circles Church, Chris Bell, back on to talk specifically about what they're doing with the church right now and testing. This is something that, Chris, y'all got started this morning with it, right?
Yeah, that's right, Sean. Thanks a lot for having me on again. We got the word that we were going to be able to. We've been working on it for days and days, a week, really, our team. A lot of people don't realize Three Circle Church, we have a medical center here at the church. And we got the news late yesterday afternoon that we were going to be able to be a testing site, that we were getting the test kits in. So we got them in, and we started early this morning. I just got the word that we just passed 100 people have been tested, and we have the drive-through going. We got a huge team of volunteers from our church and the medical community. Everyone's pulling together to get this done. And it's crazy, man. I even saw, like, people coming through. I saw a dump truck come through. So that was kind of awesome to see our team. You know, they basically had to kind of climb up there to do it. But it's been amazing, Sean. And we're just hoping that we're able to help people. You know, I think it's all of us working together to make this happen.
These tests now are... These are, because everybody's asking, you know, where do tests come from? Did these come from in-state or out-of-state? How do you get these tests?
Well, it's kind of different for everyone. And again, I'm not a medical expert, but to my knowledge, it's working with private labs who are also working with government agencies to get it out. And that was part of the hardship of getting it. I think everyone's having a hard time getting the test. But again, we were able to get several hundred tests here, and it is the swab test. So that's the one they're doing. And it's the test that I had when our group was in Palestine.
Right,
and
I don't want to.
I'll be honest with you.
I know you can't sugarcoat. Your pastor is going to tell us the truth, and I'm going to let you tell us about that in a second, because I remember last time we talked when you were in Palestine, you had just finished it, and you didn't sugarcoat what that was like. But if somebody right now is listening to us, there are still opportunities for somebody to get tested today. You still
Absolutely.
Have tests?
Absolutely. Oh. We still have tests.
How do they do that? Because you said there was a way you could text something.
It's so easy. If you'll get your cell phone and you will text 3C test. So the number 3, the letter C, and then the word test, T-E-S-T, to 97000. That's all you have to do. That's going to take you straight to all of the information you need. There'll be a tutorial video to tell you how to get here, what you need to be prepared for, what symptoms you're going to be, you need to have to, because we can't give the test to everyone. It's for symptomatic people.
Right.
And all of that information's on there. Again, I'll just say it one more time for the listener, Sean. It's text 3C test to 97000, and it'll get you in the door.
All right. That is, and if y'all didn't, you're riding down the road, didn't catch that, don't worry. Hit us up on the text line, or you can email us or go to our social media platforms. We'll pass that information along to you. Now let's get to some nitty gritty here, because this is one thing that was going to be all too familiar probably going forward as either people that are listening right now may be tested down the road, or loved ones, family members get to you. You had this done. You had described it to me last time we talked when you were in Palestine and you got this done. So how they get the sample? What'd they do?
Yeah, so, you know, we had, and interestingly enough, and people may not know our story, but we were the 13 Americans who were in the Angel Hotel in Bethlehem, which is the West Bank. And it was a pretty, you know, not going into a ton of detail, it's a very precarious situation. And one thing we needed to do was be able to get tested so that we could be able to come home. And so it was hard to get the test. When we finally did get them, we were walked into a lobby, and a guy in a hazmat suit basically, you know, tells you to sit down. And he rams this thing up your nose. I'm just being honest with you. And when yep. you think he's done, he's just getting started.
Oh,
you
no.
follow me here, bro?
I'm with you.
I mean, I would have sworn to you that he pulled the thing out of my ear, that he went in my nose and pulled it out of my ear. You know what I mean? That's how deep he went.
So it's like a big Q-tip. Is it like a big
gagging,
Q-tip?
You're gagging. You know, I'm being honest. There's the gag reflex, and tears are flowing, and you know, for about a day, you feel, you know, pretty weird. Your nose feels pretty pretty weird.
But that's how they have to get the sample. Is it like a Q-tip?
It's like an extra long Q-tip. And we were kind of, the 13 of us were really kind of laughing at each other because it was like a bunch of kids. We were gagging and coughing and, you know. And then we had to wait for the results because, of course, if any of us would have been positive, it would have been a totally different situation. But by God's grace, all 13 of us, and you know, the thing with us is it was never really for sure if we had ever actually been exposed because of the way the situation was. We were never around the workers because of our schedule, and then when we came back, they put us on a floor that the health authorities had totally disinfected. So by God's grace, none of us ever even got a fever. And then when we came back to the States, we went into immediate self-quarantine and finished out our quarantine, and thankfully no one ever had any symptoms, so we're very grateful for that.
Yeah, because you're the first, if you're just joining us, talking to lead pastor of Three Circles Church, Chris Bell, and they've got the testing going on today. But back then, when we talked last time, there you were the description of the test that you just gave when you told me that a month and something ago, that's the first I'd heard about it. Really, the procedures around quarantining and being told in that case by the government that y'all couldn't leave, right? Y'all were told you got to stay here. You could not have walked out of that place.
That's correct. Yeah, and that's a very precarious situation for a lot of reasons. And you know, I'll always there's so much to the story, Sean. But for one, the people, we were in Bethlehem, and then even closer to home, we were in an area of Bethlehem called Bet Jala, and it actually has its own mayor. And the people of that little area, Bet Jala, they were really hospitable. I mean, they wanted to make sure we had what we needed. The mayor was making sure we were getting food. The problem is the situation in the entire area was deteriorating by the hour. So, I mean, restaurants were closing, so it was going to be a real problem to even be able to protect us because we had, you know, we had armed protection all the way around the hotel. Wow. And not to keep us in, but to keep others out, if that makes sense.
Right.
And then, you know, they're getting food to us, so how long was that going to go on? And then if someone did get sick, where was the health care going to come from? So, but the people of that area were so kind and so good to us. And I think there's some pictures when we did leave the hotel and get on the bus after we were cleared medically. You know, a bunch of the Palestinian authorities were on the street waving to us and, you know, thumbs up and that kind of thing. One day we had a riot, and there had been riots in other areas, and we were afraid. Honestly,
yeah.
Sean, we heard all this noise and cars, and I'm telling everyone get to the interior. I didn't know what was going down, and one of the hotel workers ran up the steps and said, "Hey, don't be afraid. This is for you. They're not against you. They're for you. They're wanting to show their support." So then we go back out on the balconies, and it's Sean. It's hundreds and hundreds of Palestinian people in the West Bank there. They are in their cars, honking their cars, singing songs, and letting us know that they want us to get to go home. They want us to be okay, and they're praying for us.
Wow.
Yeah, man, it was like, again, and we're going to write some stories about all of this, but it was pretty awesome because it scared us to death at first, frankly.
Yeah,
so.
I imagine. And, you know, you're we're at that point, we had talked, and you were trying to get home, trying to,
right,
you know, get back to the States. But like you just mentioned, that when you got home, that you still had to quarantine, right? You had to quarantine.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we had to, and we knew that. You know, even though we had been, the difference is most people that quarantine actually have not been tested, because you don't test asymptomatic people, right?
Right.
So the difference in us is we were totally medically cleared. We had been totally tested and no trace of anything. And the Israelis were very serious with us on that they weren't letting us cross a border unless we were cleared medically. So it took days. It wasn't just a simple thing. They looked at the charts. They checked everything out to send us home. But we did. We understood that when we got back here, we needed to be responsible as much for, you know, people around us as anyone else. So we went straight into strict quarantine. I didn't see my kids. That was the toughest thing. All of us have kids, and, you know, we land in America and we can't see our kids for another week and a half. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's tough.
Yeah, that was tough. But, man, really, Sean, you know, there's so many people hurting right now. Even the people of Bet Jala and Bethlehem, they're hurting. I mean, their economy, they're shut down. They're still shut down there. They can't even leave their homes. So for us, we're just grateful that so many people along the Gulf Coast, Sean, prayed for us and lifted us up. And now we've just come back and said, we want to help people. We want to serve people and help people as much as we can.
Y'all are doing it, and it's a thing that I've talked about over the last couple of weeks. I don't know where, you know, we think about something like this being a natural disaster of sorts, right? It's like a hurricane, yep, or something. But, you know, after hurricanes, we can get that, the wanting to help other people out of our systems. We can go help our neighbor. We can go down,
right,
you know, down to the beach and help people. We can give back physically, hands-on, give somebody a hug and help them out. You can't do that here. This is contrary.
That's right, and that is why. And again, I know that there's people that listen to your show that don't have a faith background. I respect that, but I will say that it's times like this when churches, in particular, can swing into action and do what we do. We can mobilize people even online and things like that. And we're not the only church. There's a lot of great churches out there doing everything they can to help people. And I think it's a really, really beautiful thing. And I think the other thing too, Sean, I'm a history buff. And when I look back across history, I personally think the last time in history something impacted the entire world like this was World War II. That's just my looking at it. And so I think it's that big. And so there's, like, after a hurricane, some people will not be affected at all, right?
Right.
And then others will be. But there's not that dichotomy with this. Every single person, it doesn't matter who you are, you're impacted in some way right now. And I think that that's an opportunity. There's obstacles. But I think there's huge opportunities for us to come together and care for people like never before right now.
You know, events like this often lead to bigger shifts in our society, sometimes for the negative, but quite a lot of times for the positive. We just have to make sure that that's where we end up on the backside of this, through this adversity.
That's right.
All right.
That's right. I totally agree. You know, I have an old friend, Sean, who grew up in this area, and he's 85 years old. And he tells me that during World War II, as a kid, he can remember standing up on the Spanish Fort Hill up there, and he said it looked like he could walk across Mobile Bay on battleships.
Wow.
If you can imagine that in your mind. And I was talking to him on the phone yesterday, and he said, this feels like that. You know, it feels like that time where we're all feeling it. But I think that there's an opportunity for us all to do some really good things right now. If we will care about others, not just ourselves, we can do that.
Well said. Sacrifice for mankind. All right, let's
talk. Absolutely, Sean.
I mean, that's what it was in World War II. That's what it is today.
That's right.
And it is on any given Thursday. We just notice it more in times like this. Remind
that's
folks,
right,
once again, they want to get that, they want to, if they have the condition, if they have the symptoms, or they want to find out more about this, how do they text? Where do they text?
Okay, they text 3C test, the number 3, the letter C test, to 97,000. And you need to be symptomatic. So, but if you're, you know, I had someone call earlier, I've been running a fever for 3 days. Absolutely, you need to be tested. And then the other thing we're trying to tell people, Sean, is listen to the authorities. We know it's tough right now, but stay home. People need to stay home. This is not a time to be a red-blooded, you know, I'm against the government telling me anything to do. It's just the wrong time for that. Right now is a time to go, let's work together, because if we do that for 2 or 3 weeks, we can put a big dent in this thing. So that's what I'm really hoping people will do.
I appreciate your message and what you're doing. Pastor Chris Bell,
thank you for your
time, and we're going to talk again soon.
Okay, brother.
All right.
Take care.
Always a pleasure, and they're doing doing great things. So, and listen, there's going to be more of this as we move forward. Yes, there are negative stories. Don't worry. We'll go to the bottom of the hour news here. That'll be people with negative stories. And listen, I'm a realist. There's a lot of negative things to go with this, but there's also a lot of positive and a lot of good that comes out of situations like this. We're going to make sure to highlight that as well. Phone number, text line 343-0106. We'll be right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:24, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Glad to have you all along. And Cam Marston's going to be taking over at 1. I'll be in here with him listening, as so many of us have so many questions when it comes to challenges of this new economy, this battle against coronavirus economy out there, how to navigate it. I think one of the important things here for individual, let's run through the individual and then the business issues, okay? So the stimulus checks, first of all, I guess we'll call them stimulus checks to call them something else. Right now, so we talked about this morning, this is most likely going to, I don't think they'll change anything in the House, so this is, and the House votes tomorrow. But the stimulus package would be $1,200 per adult. It's a one-time payment. $1,200 per adult, $500 per child under age 17. Married couples get $2,400, and I would guess you get like, so you're, if you're us, you're a family of four, we'd be looking at $3,400, I think. Got me, because it's $2,400 for the married couple, $500 per child. All right. Payments phase out for individuals making more than $75,000. For every $100 you earn over the limit, your payment will drop by $5. Once you reach $99,000 or couples making more than $198,000, you will not qualify for a payment. Also, the timeline. Listen, this has been one of the big discussions, the timeline here. There's two different... Okay. If you have direct deposit, all right, so if you have direct deposit, you should be getting these, getting that deposit sometime in the next few weeks, all right? So within 3 weeks from, I guess, today, you get that deposit. If you have to do it by check, it may be longer. They said there'll be another distribution in May for those, I guess, that didn't get it in April. That's all this stuff. The concrete's not dry on this stuff yet. But I would say within 3 weeks, if you have direct deposit, if you get your refunds on your taxes that way, you should have it in your account. All right. So, and they're going to work off the 2019, your 2019 taxes. If you have not filed 2019 yet, then they'll work off of 2018. And, oh, you know, a question I had a bunch here. Everybody's saying, they're going to tax me on this. I've dug into this now. You will not be taxed on this. It will be a, this is actually an advance payment. So this money, they're going to make it an advance payment of a tax credit that they're going to put on the 2020 tax year. Okay. So it would be on the 20, but so you won't be taxed on the amount. It's just an advance payment of a future tax credit they're putting on for 2020. So there you go. Also, questions about retired seniors. It says here, CNN says, much like young adults, retired seniors will see their checks as long as they're not listed as a dependent for someone else. They also need to fall within the income thresholds. So as long as you're not a dependent for somebody else, for the youths and for the retired seniors, and you don't cross that threshold of $99,000 or $198,000 for a couple, you will see a check. And if you've moved recently, it said if you're set to receive a paper check, it'll likely be mailed to the last address they had on file, being the IRS. If you've recently moved, you should file a Form 8822 with the IRS and change of address notice with the U.S. Postal Service, according to the people at Kiplinger. Why didn't the IRS just call that a change of address form? When you hear like 8822, you're like, oh my gosh, I can never figure this out. If they said, hey, you got to file a change of address form, everybody be like, okay, I know what that means. That makes sense to me. Also, in news out in the last, since we did the morning show, sadly, the numbers for the latest numbers for COVID-19 cases in Alabama, 466 cases. We have now, let's see, 16 in Mobile and 4 in Baldwin County. So that's the latest update. And I think we have another presser coming up at 3 this afternoon. But that's the, there's now 466 cases in the state, 13 Mobile County, 14 Baldwin County. I think Washington County was still at, I think y'all were still at one. Was it? Yeah, Washington County is still at one. Hotspots, you see this too, because Jefferson County that we've been watching, right? So Jefferson County, Birmingham, 142 cases. That's now geographically made it, you know, to the east there, to Shelby County, because Shelby County is sitting at 50 cases. So 142 for Jefferson and 50 in Shelby.
And we did get some new numbers in here recently. It's up to 472 for the state. And up to 16 for Mobile County. Baldwin County still at 4 cases.
So wait. So this stuff that I got, because I got an update at 11. This has been a new update since then.
Yeah, I believe there's been a new update.
Okay, so state number is what?
472 for the state.
Oh my gosh, that jumped.
And 16 for Mobile County. 4 for Baldwin County. I haven't seen the latest Washington County number. I know it's back there somewhere. And it's looking like now a second person from Alabama has passed away due to COVID-19, and that's in the northern part of the state.
All right. Thanks for the update, but I appreciate the update there.
Yeah.
All right. 1230 FM 106.5, and we're coming right back. Talk about some services that you can take advantage of as well locally through the United Way of Southwest Alabama. They're always there helping with 211, but right now more than ever, folks need help on a lot of different fronts, and we'll talk about that when we come back. Plus, Cam Marston joins us in the 1 o'clock hour for What's Working, the special edition. And we'll check news right now.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
At 1235, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Good news, too. The students from USA that were stranded in Peru are heading back. We'll be returning to the United States. Group of students. We've talked about them a couple times. We're trapped in Peru when Peru closed its borders back on St. Patrick's Day, I think, wasn't it? I think it was the 17th. As they did, like so many countries, just heard Israel closing all flights in and out, closing their borders. Peru did the same and had those U.S. students and USA students, University of South Alabama students, stuck in Peru. So the flight has, I guess, they're back, so they're back, and they're back in the States. So good news there. All right, I mentioned this a second ago, and this is going to be part of what we do around here the whole way through this crisis. And we talk about issues of the economy. We talk about issues of health, obviously, surrounding, like we talked about the testing today going on for COVID-19. But there are so many other needs as we all work through this together and deal with the economic issues and the health issues facing us during the coronavirus fight. And Justine Herlihy from the United Way of Southwest Alabama joining us now with some information. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thank you, Sean. We appreciate you for having us on with you today.
Well, let's talk about, too, that United Way of Southwest Alabama, y'all are you got a lot of agencies working with you. You had a big footprint.
We do. So the United Way of Southwest Alabama has been around for 93 years. Our main office is located in downtown Mobile, but we serve Clark, Choctaw, Mobile, and Washington counties. So that's kind of our whole footprint service area. And then we are made up of 47 partner agencies that provide a wide range of health and human services for our community members in those areas.
Okay, so let's talk us with all those resources. Talk to the listeners here that whether it's issues. Let's talk about the economy and talk about stressors on people's daily life, making ends meet, paying bills. How can y'all help?
Right. And we're seeing that, you know, particularly right now with the COVID-19 crisis. We're having small businesses struggling to keep their doors open, struggling to keep their employees employed and paid. Everybody's patiently waiting to see what the government does, you know, if there are any incentives that can be passed down for anybody that's maybe been laid off or their wages have been cut or furloughed. So what we want to do is also direct everybody to a local resource, and that's our 211 line. At any time, you can call 211, and that line is set up through a partnership with the United Way of Southwest Alabama and Lifeline Counseling, where we fund, they have a trained call specialist, so they have a call center here in Mobile, and anyone can dial into that line at any time, and those call specialists will connect them to one of those 47 agencies I mentioned providing those services. So say somebody you know, just recently got laid off from their job. They are having trouble paying their utilities for a couple months. They need some assistance. They would call that line, and that line would connect them to maybe Catholic Social Services. They would help pay utilities for a few months to help get them back on their feet or to where they can get employed again. That's one example.
Yeah, so if people are having, because, I mean, that's what people are looking at. They're going, you know, I have no cash flow right now. We're talking about some of the things that looks like the House will vote tomorrow and this bill will be passed. But that's still, at best case scenario, 3 weeks away, according to
right.
Treasury Secretary. So that if somebody's been out of work for a couple weeks now they're over a month without work. And what about power bills and water bills and gas bills and all those things?
We found that a lot of our local utilities are kind of offering grace periods or extensions on paying those bills, or offering things like not having, you know, there aren't certain penalties associated with late payments over this kind of transition period that everybody's learning from. But the best thing to do to be provided or connected, I guess, to an agency that provides a resource there would be to call 211. The local number is 251-431-5111 if you can't get through on your cell phone.
Okay.
And they'll reach out. You know, each different kind of person and each different instance might change who they're paired with or who the agency they're connected with.
Okay. Obviously, with so many resources, you can kind of customize how you help people.
Right. A lot of, you know, one thing we always hear a lot is everybody knows there's a lot of nonprofits that help serve our area. And what most people don't know is how they all kind of specifically work on something different. It might seem, you know, that a lot of services overlap, but in reality, those partner agencies, you know, like the Salvation Army, Goodwill, Easter Seals, they offer very specific programs or assistance for specific types of people. You know, say you have, there's a domestic abuse situation going on that could be unrelated to COVID-19, or it could be related to that. You know, people are at home, children are at home from school with people that they're not normally with every day because they're able to go to school. And there could be a situation where there's domestic abuse going on. And then if they call 211, it will pair them with the correct agency that helps. So if you have a situation where a man's being abused, a woman's being abused, a woman with a child is being abused, they might partner with Penelope House, which a lot of people are familiar with. It was the first domestic violence shelter in the state of Alabama. That's one of our partner agencies. If it's just a woman looking for assistance or shelter, they might partner her with McKinney Place.
So you have,
and that's another one of our partner agencies. So each person kind of has a different, you know, a specific area, and each agency has a specific resource that they kind of provide for that.
And it's some great agencies. A personal shout out to Tony Ann and the gang with Penelope House, doing great, great work. Great people.
Yes, wonderful.
You know, we talk about the. So much of our conversation, Justine, has been talking about health in the fight against COVID-19 specifically, trying not to get the virus, not pass along the virus, dealing with the virus, hospital issues, those things. But there's another part of this, and Congressman Byrne brought this up as we talked on Friday's show, and we started talking about, which, you know, coming up next month is the 10 years since the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, and the mental health issues that went along with that, not physical health, but mental health issues. And I gotta imagine with the stressors going on right now, there are people that are I think most people are anxious, but maybe some people are anxious to a point that they need to talk to somebody.
Right. And, you know, Lifelines, they're a counseling center. So when you call that 211 line, that's where the 211 is housed. But they also are able to provide certain levels of counseling, or they can recommend that out to other partner agencies. You know, United Way, we kind of are, we view ourselves as the community safety net. So it's a one kind of stop shop to be connected to any service. So like AltaPoint is another one of our partner agencies. And historically, you know, over our history, we've seen with the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, like Congressman Byrne mentioned, or a recession, this is a really, you know, a period of time where there's so much uncertainty, there's financial instability, there's hunger, and all those things kind of play a role in your mental health and your ability to kind of go through your day-to-day operations. when anything is altered in those, like this, like a huge, you know, pandemic, like what's going on right now.
So it is a truly a clearinghouse. Y'all remember 211, and you just come to 211 with the issue, and y'all's job is to direct us to a perfect partner agency for what that issue is.
Right. In a regular year, 211 line receives about 10,000 calls, and out of those 10,000, they provide about 8,500 of those calls to referral agencies, those local agencies. And then one thing they're working on doing is following up with those callers that might be in crisis to see, did they get connected to the right agency or the right service, and do they have what they need?
I'm sure y'all expect an increase right now, I mean, going forward.
Yes. A lot of our agencies right now, you know, they're looking for volunteers. The call center has experienced a tremendous number of calls over the last few days. And we want to ensure, you know, there's been some information put out there that says you call 211 and the United Way will provide a financial resource. We want to emphasize that that's not what it's for. It's to be connected to a partner agency that can provide you with a health or human service. So calling that number does not get you access to an economic relief fund or anything like that, but it literally connects you to the agency that can help, whether that be Salvation Army, Alta Point. You know, we have people traveling with children that are in Ronald McDonald House that were born either premature or with another health issue. And that's a safe place for them to go stay. But Ronald McDonald House, for example, right now can't have volunteers in there to protect the health of their clients that are staying there. So they're looking for food donations.
Okay, because you're bringing me to one of the things I wanted to ask, because in the aftermath of other kind of natural disasters that we've had, there's a way for people that say, you know, I want to give back, I want to help out my fellow, you know, Mobile Baldwin County, my fellow human. But right now, we're kind of told that you got to stay away from each other. So there people are looking for an outlet, Justine, for that. They're looking for somewhere that they can give back.
So we have a couple options. One program that our United Way of Southwest Alabama runs in-house is called Volunteer Connect. You can go to volunteerconnect.org, and that's our website, uwswa.org. Basically in there, you can fill out a username and password, create a username and password, and you have access to a web portal that any nonprofit agency, not just our partner agencies, can put a need in there. And we've seen a lot of those agencies need shift. So some agencies have shifted to having a virtual, you know, they need virtual assistance. They need help maintaining their website or their social media to put out the most up-to-date, current, and correct, you know, information as it relates to our community and our economy. And so they're having people kind of update their website virtually so they don't have to come in. Ronald McDonald House, as we just said, for example, they rely almost 100% on volunteers coming in and cooking their meals. And now they're had to shift that need to rely on food donations, where, you know, one of these awesome local businesses that hopefully everybody's out supporting right now can mm-hmm. order, you know, like a takeout or place a catering order, and they would say, you call Moe's, they would deliver it to Ronald McDonald House so those children and families there can eat. Same thing with Dumas Wesley. They're also looking to feed, you know, I think they have 75 elderly in-house that live in their facility, and 25 or so children. They also have that food need that they're trying to meet.
Okay, so once again, somebody, oddly enough, we were, I think, at the 24th. Yeah, the 24th. So earlier this week, we were slated to be as a radio station down cooking for Ronald McDonald House. That's what we were slated to do. Mm-hmm. And obviously, because of this, we can't. So if we wanted to give that food donation to Ronald McDonald House or to Miss Wesley, we call 211 and then say that, or is there a different, is that the best path to do that?
The best path to do that would be you can call United Way, our local United Way, visit our website, and all of our staff emails are on there. The website's uwswa.org. 211 will provide somebody with a service when they're in need, but we want to be really cautious and not overflow the okay. line for people that are trying to give back.
So call the main office number. Okay, so call the I bet you're talking to a lot of people right now, Justine, that say that, you know, they feel this desire, this emotion to help out, and those are two real specific local charities. People could get on the phone, do a credit card order, and order food for people.
Absolutely. We set up on our end too. We like I said, our footprint is Clark, Choctaw, Mobile, and Washington County. We've also set up COVID-19 funds. So you can go to our website, and if somebody is interested in contributing to those funds, we're doing twofold. One, we're working with our partner agency to determine what their needs are. So we have a list of, it could be anything from something they need, Clorox, Lysol, masks, gloves. So for that, United Way, we went and set up an Amazon wish list. So if anybody is at home and is looking for something to do in their free time while working remotely, mm-hmm. you can visit Amazon, you can go to the wish list for United Way, and you'll see those items that are on there. You can order them, and they'll ship them to a safe locker in downtown Mobile, where we're picking up those items and going to distribute them back to the agencies. Hand sanitizer, you know, those types of things. And then also another component, if you want to donate, if a financial contribution, all those dollars are remaining in a COVID response fund that we'll get back out to our partner agencies as their needs continue to evolve.
Perfect. Justine Herlihy of the United Way of Southwest Alabama, thank you for your time. Thanks for what y'all are doing.
Thank you, Sean. We appreciate y'all.
All right. 12:50. Coming back, we'll grab some text here and some text questions. Calls as well at 343-0106. Also at the top of the hour, Cam Marston, What's Working? Special edition returns. Tuesday was the inaugural. Today, episode 2. Small business folks, you got to pay attention. All of us got to pay attention. Cam will be joining us here in about 15 minutes.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:53, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile on this Thursday. Hey, with all this stuff going on out there, it is gorgeous outside. Although, another hot one today came pretty close to setting a record yesterday. Dr. Bill said we're looking at like 1907 last time it got as hot as it did yesterday. But hey, it's sunshine outside and a great way to socially distance yourself. You just get outside. Now, don't go amongst groups of people, but get outside and enjoy it. If you can, get the sun, enjoy that time. All right, a couple of questions here. I want to get to this one on the text line. Where is it? Now, every time I move, so many. Okay, hey guys, quick question. Is everybody getting a payment or only people directly affected by the virus? It is actually everybody. Except, and you're talking about the individual checks. Now, remember, there's going to be a lot, and my buddy Cam's coming on in a second. We're going to bring more into the discussion as well with small business. But let's talk about the overall here for Americans, okay? It's $1,200 per adult, $500 per child under age 17. Married couples receive $2,400. That is up to, it says, payments phase out for individuals making more than $75,000. For every $100 over $75,000 you make, your payment drops by $5. Then I guess at $99,000 it zeros out and you get nothing. Couples making more than $198,000 will not qualify for a payment. And I said this for a couple days this week, and I get it. I get the flip side of it. My issue was that we're giving the checks to everybody, whether they had lost a job or not. And I said, you know, that may not be the best allocation of that resource. I believe in helping the people through no fault of their own that are without income, without a job right now. I just asked the question whether it was worth doing it for everybody. And listen, many of y'all have made good arguments the other way. I know one this morning, Susan said, she said, she works at a flower shop. She said, I hear when you say people don't deserve the money because they're still working. Yes, I'm working, but very little. My hours have been cut. So you really need to think about those people like me whose business was booming 2 weeks ago and now it's dead. Who knows what's going to happen? Well, listen, I think all businesses, with the exception of a few specific businesses, are hurting right now. And I get it. And I feel for you. So I think if you've lost hours, I see you like I see other people that have made or said, hey, my spouse has been furloughed or my spouse has been fired. I'm still working, but we need both incomes. Well, I feel just fine for them getting the check. And Susan, if there was some way to do, you know, some percentage or something. I'm just arguing that maybe this money goes further if we if we just get, but it's done. Hey, the it's fine. It's already done. They've decided it in the Senate. The House will vote tomorrow, and I'm sure it will vote through. Which, by the way, they may do this one remotely. I got a note here. Dun, 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 dun. That's the sound I make when I'm trying to find an email here. All right. Looks like, okay, I got this from Congressman Burns' office. The plan is for the House to voice vote. Okay, so they are going to go there. Voice vote the Phase 3 coronavirus package in the morning. So, the congressman is doing the safe thing and staying home. So they'll be doing that. So we'll hopefully have Congressman Byrne on tomorrow with us to talk more about the vote that goes down. But the Senate worked and they got their part done. Goes to the House, go through a voice vote. But yeah, there's the individual portion of it. And Susan and others that have texted me, I get y'all. And individual circumstances, and it's probably why it's easier for the federal government just to give everybody a check, because there are so many individual circumstances. I'm looking at when this is needed. This is needed for our economy in the short term. We just need to think, you know, about the long-term effects as well, because eventually may not be us, but it'll be our children or our grandchildren paying for this. All right. This is just an idea. More questions, you can always text them in to 343-0106, 343-0106. Big thanks to Pastor Chris Bell, Three Circles Church, and I want to get him back on the show real soon. His story is very interesting, because here's somebody who was in Palestine when this first, a month ago, when it hit Palestine, and they were the folks from right here at home that were held in quarantine in that church in Bethlehem, or in that hotel in Bethlehem. Then they traveled back here, and, well, we all know what's happening back home now. So it's an interesting story. And Justin Herlihy from the United Way of Southwest Alabama, big thanks to her and what her partner agencies are doing out there. Cam Marston, What's Working, special edition, happens next right here on FM Talk 106.5. Y'all stay right there.